Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here today joining with us, whether you're online or in person. We just want to really welcome you here today. And before we kind of dive into our explaining what our new series is all about, I want to give you a brief kind of update from last Sunday, because some people, or actually many people, have been asking, mainly around how was the sunrise service and did you really have to fight off a raccoon? If you weren't here on Easter Sunday, I mentioned that briefly, and it is absolutely true that, first of all, the sunrise service is my favorite service. It is gorgeous. This is what it looks like as we kind of sit there. The sun comes up, and it is just a beautiful, beautiful service to be a part of. I love it personally just because of the outside nature. But then, because we were outside, we ended up having a raccoon that refused to leave. Like, just flat out refused. It just wanted to play with the broom that I tried to use to actually get rid of him. So yes, I was dealing with a raccoon. In fact, what ended up happening was he was grabbing so hard onto the broom that I was able to lift it up, and he was like hanging from it. That's what he was doing. So I did the most natural thing ever. I took him over to the fence, and bye-bye, raccoon. That's what I did. Not like full like throwing the raccoon, just nicely dropping him over the fence, and then he left, and that was great. So I don't know if your job is ever weird, but I'll tell you mine is. And I bring all this up because I do actually today want to talk through bouncing back and resilience and all sorts of things. And that is all about meeting some unexpected challenges and then actually kind of dealing them with the Christ-like way. So today, we want to start a brand new series called Bouncing Back. And the whole idea of the series is really this. If I were to summarize it in one word, it would be to develop resilience. That's what I want to talk about. Resilience in our relationships, resilience in our finances, resilience with our souls and our spirits with God. Because here's what I do believe about our world. Can we just agree with this? Our world feels a little bit unstable right now, does it not? Like, it feels weird. It feels shaky. It feels uncertain. And it feels like things can just get worse. And this is true. And so what I want us to do is to learn, how do we develop resilience in a weird, shaky, wobbly, kind of very uncertain, and in some ways, even fearful, scary kind of things? Because there's lots going on. There are elections. There are tariffs. There are trade wars. There are just so much stuff happening. And so in the midst of that, I want to talk through, how do we get through some of the tough stuff of life? How do we get through some of the difficult things? How do we actually develop resilience in a way so that we can face the challenges of life? That's what I want to take a look at over the next 6 weeks. So what we're going to take a look at is, how do we develop resilience in our finances, with our relationships with others? We're going to take a look at our souls, our spirits, resting, and also how do we develop resilience even from attacks from the enemy? We're going to talk through all of that. But today what I want to do is, I want to talk through, how do we develop resilience in the most important relationship that we have? The most important relationship that we have is with Jesus. Yeah, that's not your question this morning. Yeah, Jesus. The most important relationship is Jesus. So I want to talk through, how do we develop resilience with God so that our relationship with God grows rather than drifts? Because it's doing one of those two things. It often is either growing or drifting. So I want to talk through that. But before we do, I just want to explain what resilience is and kind of why it matters for us to talk about that. So today I want to begin with what resilience is and then why it matters in our lives. So first, what is resilience when I use that word? Well, according to Wikipedia, that can never ever be wrong, right? We will learn this. This is a definition. Resilience is the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties. It's toughness in the midst of challenge. Toughness in the midst of challenge is what I want to kind of help us to understand how we can have that in our lives. That if I were to define resilience, it would be this. Resilience is the ability to bounce back from trials, setbacks, and hardships. That's what it is. And I want to take a look at then, how can we develop that in our lives? And this is important because I do believe, and I know this is not a great thing to say on a Sunday right after Easter, but I just believe we should speak the truth of things. I do believe that we as Christians will face trials and difficulties, that occasionally we're going to just run into seasons of challenge. And so I think it's important for us to understand what resilience is, because resilience is something that we can all grow in. It's not something that you either have or you don't have. It's something that can actually be developed and grown through. And the last thing I want to say with resilience is that resilience is tested in trials, but it can be developed at any time. Resilience is tested in trials, but can be developed at any time. Meaning that today, if your life is going great, like, that's amazing, but we should still actually prepare for trials and setbacks. We do need to do that. And so today, I want to take a look at why this is so important for us, especially in the current kind of climate that we are in. The first thing I want to say with this is that all of us will face trials. I know that that's not a great thing to say, but it is a true thing. Jesus puts it this way. He says, here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows. This is Jesus speaking. Nobody has that as their favorite verse. That's not anybody's favorite verse. Right? No one has this. Oh, my life verse is this one. Like, nobody has that. But Jesus here is direct and he is clear, right? He says that I've told you all this so that you might, sorry, we'll just read the verse. says this, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but he also says this, take heart because I have overcome the world. Take heart because I have overcome the world. What Jesus here is teaching really is two things, that we have challenges and trials, but also we have hope in the midst of them. And I think that's really important for us to understand. Because our world, when it comes to trials, I think does two things. I think our world distracts us from preparing for difficult seasons, or when we are entering into a difficult season, what it does, this is a term for it, that our world catastrophizes it. And I want to explain both those two things. The first, I think we get really distracted from preparing and doing the hard stuff of preparing for challenges. That if our life is going well and easy, that we're actually encouraged to just continue to go in that direction without thinking through, how can I prepare for some challenges I might face? That our world is very distracting from doing the hard, right things, whether that's with screens or news or notifications. I just think that our world doesn't take so much seriously when it says, here on earth you'll have many trials and sorrows, so we should prepare for them. Our world distracts us from them. And then secondly, what it does is when we enter into a difficult season, it catastrophizes them. Meaning that what it does is it makes the challenges we are feeling seem as if there is no hope in them. Seeming as if it's just the worst that could happen, that nothing good can happen, and there isn't much reason for us to hope for change. Jesus has a different understanding though, because he says that we will face trials, but then he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're going to face difficulties, but we can also have hope. So this is why I think it's important for us to talk about resilience, because we will face trials, but we also can have hope. Secondly, and this is very true, is that resilience and difficulties is that if you go through a difficult, challenging time, space, or season, that you can actually grow because of that. That challenging spaces can actually grow your life. Anybody want to agree that they've been through something that is really difficult, but in the end it made you a better person? Anyone ever had that experience? Right? That's what resilience is all about. James puts it this way in the verse of James. He's talking about resilience here, he just doesn't use the word. He says this in James 1, 2 to 4. It says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, he says this, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Again, I don't think many people have that as their life verse, but it is important. Listen to what he says. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. It's actually only out of difficulties that we can actually grow our endurance, or the word in Greek is hupomene, and what it means is to have this unswerving kind of strength within you and loyalty to faith and to piety, even in the greatest trials and sufferings. So James says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. He says this, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now what James is telling us is what you actually, many of you already agreed to, is that trials can change us for the better. Trials can change us for the better. There's actually a term for this in positive psychology. Do you want to know what the term is? I love this term. It's called post-traumatic growth. Right? Post-traumatic growth. That's what it is when you go through resilient, when you go through difficult times. If you have resilience, you end up with what's called post-traumatic growth. Here's how it's defined. Post-traumatic growth is a positive psychological change experienced as the result of struggling with highly challenging, highly stressful life circumstances. These circumstances represent significant challenges to the resources of the individual and pose significant challenges to the individual's way of understanding the world and their place in it. But they write this, that post-traumatic growth involves life-changing psychological shifts in thinking and relating to the world and self that contribute to a personal, positive process of change. What they're basically saying is that post-traumatic growth is when we go through something and we can actually grow because of it. And I think that this is important for us to understand, that when we go through challenges, there are opportunities for us to actually grow deeper and better and closer to Jesus. Paul puts it this way. He says, we can rejoice. Listen how strong he is. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. I'll tell you, I do not live out that verse very often. Right? My first reaction is not often to rejoice when I face trials. But this is what Paul says. He says this, because when we run into trials, they will help to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope in salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. To hear what Paul is telling us is that we can grow out of the challenges we face. I want to be really clear with this. The challenges we face are not good. Otherwise, they wouldn't be challenges. But yet, even in the midst of that, we can have kind of that post-traumatic growth. My dad used to put it this way. As many of you know, my dad was a pastor for many, many years, and he actually had cancer and struggled for many, many years. It was in pain, and it was awful in a lot of ways, and it was something that we kind of walked through as a family. But what my dad would often say is that cancer actually made him a better pastor. Going through that difficult seasons and difficult kind of reality for us made him a better pastor. But then what he also often said at the end of that is, yes, cancer made me a better pastor, but I was fine with being mediocre, is what he would say. I think that's post-traumatic growth. That's basically the definition for it. Not that the challenges we go through are good, no, but that they do leave us changed if we respond to them rightly. And that's what I want to take a look at. How do we respond rightly to the challenges we might face in our relationship with God, finances, friendships, our souls, our spirits? How do we actually develop that so that we might actually have that post-traumatic growth? This is why I think it's important for us to talk all of this through. So that's what resilience is. Resilience is something that is tested in trials, but we can develop here today. And it's important for us to talk through because, as I said, we all will face trials, but we can grow out of them. And so today, to start to understand how we might develop resilience in our relationship with God, strength and depth in our relationship with God, I want to read to you from Matthew 13. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there here today. We're going to be jumping to a lot of different verses today. Today is more like what you would call teaching over preaching. Sometimes those two things overlap and they're different things. But today, we're going to take a look at a number of different verses. And here in Matthew 13, Jesus is giving a parable, which is a story that he uses to teach. And he gives us a parable and then he explains it. I want to take a look at it here today together. Because here Jesus outlines some ways that we can actually grow closer to God. He says this in Matthew 13. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. Since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as been planted. Anyone with ears should hear and listen and understand this parable. And Jesus then goes on to give us the actual explanation of it. Because sometimes the parables of Jesus are difficult to interpret, so he tells us what this one means. He says this, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. He says, the seeds fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. This is the verse I want to pay attention to. But since they have deep roots, don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they hit any problems, trials, challenges, any of that. He says, or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. It says, the seed, though, that fell on good soil represents those who hear and truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as been planted. But here what Jesus does is he names three things that are going to impact our relationship with God. He names the evil one who comes in to snatch his people away. He talks about those who don't have deep enough roots. And he also talks about the cares of the world. And today I want to talk through that verse where it talks through that we don't develop deep roots. And we're going to talk about the other two things of the evil one and the cares of the world in a few weeks. We're going to talk next week about developing resiliency in our finances. And our last week we're going to talk about how do we actually grow closer to God even with the evil one and the attacks that he has. So today I want to talk through about how do you develop deep roots with God. Because this is just true. If you are going to grow through any of the resilience or any of the difficulties that you face, we need deep roots with God. Jesus puts it this way. He says, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God. It's God's word. So he's so clear here that as soon as someone faces challenges, difficulties, or trials, if they don't have deep roots, their relationship with God doesn't last. So today I want to take a look at how then do we develop deep roots with God? How then do we develop strength with God? How do we develop that resiliency with God? How do we not become some of those plants that he says that they just wilt and they fall away, but instead that we might grow through any of the different difficult seasons or situations we face in our lives? And so today what I want to do is I want to give you three things that I deeply believe will actually grow you closer to God, will make sure that your relationship with God is deep and unshakable and resilient in so many ways. And those three things I want to give to you today are pretty simple for what we're called to do. They are prayer, they are committing to community, and lastly, they are serving in community. I want to invite you to prioritize those three things, and I'll explain them and what I mean by them so that you might have depth in your relationship with God. So the first thing is praying daily. This is just absolutely true. If you want to grow closer to God, prayer needs to become a habit. Amen? Amen. Right? Prayer needs to become a habit, not like just something that happens occasionally. I want to challenge you that it should be happening continually, every day, that it should be a focus in your life of making sure that there is times where you are praying to God. When I say praying to God too, what I mean is not just talking to him, although that's absolutely important, needed, and necessary, but prayer also is not only talking, it's also listening. Yeah, that's it. Listening to God. What is he saying to you? What is he sharing with you in your heart, in your life? That prayer needs to become a habit. Paul puts it this way, and I really love this verse. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Anyone want to say amen to that? Amen. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. He's talking and teaching us that prayer needs to become a habit, and we are going to pray everything that we can. He says this, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you have never tried praying before, right there you have a structure for how to do it. What's the first thing he says? He says this, tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. If you have needs today, if there are struggles, if you're like just really stressed out or overwhelmed or you have any need, you can bring that to Jesus. Amen? You can bring any of the stuff that you're carrying to Jesus. That is always what prayer is. It is bringing some of our stuff that we have to him. But then notice how the prayer or the structure ends. He says, tell God all that you need. And then what does it say? And thank him for all that he has done. So prayer is both bringing everything to God, but then also thanking him for what he has done. And I think what ends up happening in our lives is we end up not having enough gratitude towards God. That if we don't stop and kind of sit and think about it, we often miss some of the ways that God might be moving in our world. Some of the things that we can give thanks for are simple things. Anybody just grateful for the fact that today is a bright sunny day? Amen? Right? Like this is a good day. This is a good thing. We can thank God for that. Maybe you can thank God that you have a job. Maybe you can thank God that you have some food in your fridge. That what James teaches us is that every good and perfect gift comes from God. So if you have something good in your life, you should give thanks to God for that thing that is good. Yes, do not ever downplay all your needs. Bring all that to him, but then also take some time and say, what is it I can thank God for? That's how you can pray, both bringing needs and bringing thanks, both those two things. Paul says, if you do this, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Paul is just really encouraging us in all that we have, bring that stuff to God and be grateful, and then what will end up happening, the promise is that peace will guard your heart and mind. After you bring all that you need to him, and then you thank him, that peace will guard your heart and mind. So the first thing I want to invite you to do, if you're going to actually have a depth of a relationship with God, is to prioritize prayer. It's to practice prayer. It's to bring all of our needs to God, and then to share all the good that he has done in our life. Because I do believe this, that you cannot grow closer to God without prayer being a habit, without prayer being practiced, without prayer being something that's a part of your life. And so today I want to encourage you, invite you, and maybe even challenge you. If prayer hasn't been a habit, you can start today. Just start praying to him, have a regular time. Think about the ways that you can grow closer to him through prayer. So the first thing is, if you want to grow deeper with God and have resilience, prayer needs to become a habit. Or as James puts it as well, he says this in James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Anyone want to feel God in their life, in their hearts? Listen to what he says. Draw near to him. That's through prayer. And then he will draw near to you. That God responds to our activity. Second thing I want to invite you to do is not only prayer, I want to invite you to invest in community. That if you want to have resilience in relationship with God, we need to actually have community together. Or to put it differently, that you can't grow deeply with God without growing deeply with others. I want to share why that's theologically true. Theologically, what we confess as Christians is that God is a Trinity, meaning that God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God then, as theologically, what we know is that God is both communal and relational. That the very core of who God is, that he is both communal and relational, which means if we want to actually connect with Jesus, if we want to grow deeper with him, it's going to happen in communal and relational spaces. It's going to happen in community together. That Jesus is very clear that we need to encounter him in community. We read this in Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there with them, or I am there among them. For where two or three gather with my followers, I am there among them. If you want to encounter Jesus and to have a depth of relationship, community needs to be part of your life. He writes this too, for the kingdom of God is among you in Luke 17, verse 21. I think this is actually really important for us, but it's one that's hard for us because we live in a highly individualized world. We are actually the oddities in terms of culture. There's never been a more independent culture or individualized culture. And so what we often can fall into is the trap to think that we can grow closer to God without growing closer to other people. That maybe we'll just listen to more sermons online or podcasts. None of that is wrong. But also, if we're not investing in community, we will not be growing to the depth that we could. Jesus is really clear with this. If you want to grow closer to Jesus, you must grow closer to others. Listen to what he says in Mark. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen to that. You must love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But then he says this, but there's no other second commandment is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. that Jesus, what he does here is he connects loving God also with loving others. So if you want to grow deeper, there needs to be community a part of your life. And that can be coming to church. That can be saying in a home church. There's lots of ways to develop that. But the point I want to make to you really clearly is that you can't grow deeply with God without growing deeply with others. Lastly, I talked about prayer, talked about committing to community. Last thing I want to invite you to do is to make serving a habit as well. To make serving a habit as well, that we need to actually serve in community. That if we are going to encounter Jesus, what we know is that we are going to find him in servant areas, because this is who Jesus is. Jesus is a servant-hearted person. So if we want to grow closer to him, we also need to have servant-hearted realities. Jesus says this directly in Mark 10, 45. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served." What's it say? But to serve. That Jesus came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he did that throughout the Gospels. He did that on the cross. He did that throughout his life and his ministry, that Jesus came and showed us a pathway of service. So if you're going to go closer with God, you need to actually be a part of serving. Serving needs to be a part of your life. Listen to how Peter puts it. He says this, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts." I just want to read that again. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. He says this, "Use them well to serve one another." Here's what I love about this. It is very clear in this passage that God gives everyone something to share. Amen? Amen? There is nobody who is left out of the skills and the abilities to actually share something in community. He's clear there. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Notice there too, there's no like age requirement. Amen? Right? That like youth, young adults, kids, all that kind of stuff can be a part of serving as well. They have gifts as well. And so what I think we need to get in the habit of, if we want to grow closer to God, to get in the habit of actually serving and sharing and using some of the various different gifts that you might have. That this is really beautiful when you come together in community. Because here's the truth. No one person has all the spiritual gifts. No one person has all the gifts that they can't, that they don't need anyone else. We need other people. Even in this right moment, right now, there are dozens and dozens of people who are serving and leading so that we might be a part of this here together. That serving needs to become a habit if you want to follow Christ deeper and actually have more resiliency in your life. So what does this mean for us all here today? Well, here's what we've learned so far. That resilience is the ability to bounce back from challenges. Someone after the first service came up to me and they said that we should change the name of this series. That we should change the name from bounce back to bounce forward. I was like, that's true. That's really what we're talking about. Not just how to bounce back, but how to actually bounce forward with that post-traumatic growth. So what are we talking about here today? We talked about how resilience is the ability to bounce back from challenges. We learned why it's important, because we will face challenges, but we can actually grow through them. And then today, I shared with you three ways that you can grow closer with God: through prayer, through community, and through serving or sacrificing. So that's my main point today. My main point is really simple. That you can develop resilience in your relationship with God through prayer, community, and service. You can develop resilience in your relationship with God with prayer, community, and service. That what I really want to invite you into today is simple and it's clear, is prayer, community, and service. So what does this mean for us practically? Because as I often talk and as we often share here, we don't come here just for information. We actually come here because we want to be changed. We actually come here because we want to have some actual practical things to put into place. And so today, I want to invite you into some practical applications of this. That we here at Bethany talk about Jesus and talk about following with Jesus in three ways. We talk about up, with, and out. And today, I want to challenge you to follow Jesus up, with, and out. When I say up, with, and out, here's what those mean for us here. That first, when we say up, what we are talking about is daily connecting up to Jesus. That this needs to become a pattern and a habit in our heart and in our lives, to daily connect up with Jesus. Secondly, what we talk about is to journey deeply with one another. That needs to be a part of our life. And lastly, to serve and sacrifice out in the community. This is what we really believe we're called to do here at Bethany, those three things. And so today I want to challenge you to follow Jesus up with and out, to daily connect up with him, to journey deeply with one another, and to serve and to sacrifice in the community. And what I want to invite you to do today is to actually think through those three things of up, with, and out, and ask one question. And ask this question: which area is Jesus asking you to focus in on? Which area is Jesus asking you to focus in on? Up, with, or out? I want to explain all of those three and how it might look practically. That first, we've talked about daily connecting up with God through prayer. And so I want to invite you, and I want to challenge you, to actually make prayer a priority. That what I know in my life, and this is maybe just me, but perhaps it might relate to you as well, the busier I get and the busier I am, the more forgetful towards prayer I am. And I think that we need to have a discipline of learning to actually make prayer a habit and to make prayer a focus in our lives. So I want to invite you, perhaps that's where Jesus is inviting you to focus in, to make prayer a real focus in your life. Secondly, I want to invite you to think through, perhaps God is asking you to really connect in on community, to really commit to community, to commit to journeying with others. Hebrews puts it this way, it says this, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." That what Hebrews is talking about is that if we want to grow closer with God and grow closer to what he has for us, we have to actually invest in community. He says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. We can't kind of give up on that. So practically, what does it look like to commit to community, to journeying with people? Well, it means things like coming to church. Like that's an amazing way, and talking with people and inviting them into things. I think that's a beautiful way. It'll also be for us home churches. Home churches are where we gather with groups of 3 to 12 other people, and they're just starting up this week. So you can sign up, you can be a part of one. We would love for that. And what you do is you journey together. You share some of your stories, some of the hurts and the difficulties you might have, and some of the things that are going well, and you simply journey with one another. And I know that this can be difficult because we can be honest in church, amen? Amen. All right, well, if we're honest in church, can we also agree with this, that sometimes people are annoying, messy, and difficult, amen? Amen. Right? Like, is that not true? Yeah, can we also then be one layer deeper and even more honest and even maybe more vulnerable? Is it not also true that at times you and I are also annoying, messy, and difficult to be with? Yeah. Right? This is the real kind of rubber hits the road, that it is really difficult to actually invest in community sometimes because of those things. But it's also very valuable. It's also the thing that Christ calls us towards, that we can't grow closer to God without growing closer to others. So I know that at times it can be difficult in any kind of community space because people, as I said, can be difficult, annoying, and messy. And that's okay. But what I want to invite you to do is to think through, is God inviting you to really focus in on this area? And for you, what it might be is committing to church or committing to a home church so that you can actually journey with other people, because we're not isolated islands alone in Christianity. We are called to come together. So practically, what does this look like to actually grow closer to God? As I said, it's prayer and it's journeying with other people. Lastly, what I'll invite you to consider is perhaps where Jesus is inviting you to really focus in is on serving and sacrificing out in the world. Because here's what I know. I know that serving is not always convenient and easy. If it was, it wouldn't be serving. Right? It is not always convenient, it's not always easy, but what I also know is that serving connects you with God and those around you, and it makes a huge impact. Remember what what Peter said, that each of us has some spiritual gifts. So I want to challenge you and invite you to make a habit in your life of serving and sharing those gifts. The question I might ask for you is, what gifts or skills do you have? What gifts or skills do you have? Because there are so many differences in the kingdom of God, and we need that. For me, one of the gifts that I have is this gift in governance, which is basically a really boring way to say I like to read policy about things. This is, though, a gift that I have. So then I share that on Christian boards to try to help them to grow with their impact. I might have this one. You might not. That's okay. We're all called to share in the various spaces that we have. That's an important part. So what gifts has God given you? Perhaps he's given you gifts of like worship, to be able to like lead, to be able to play an instrument, to do those things. Those are gifts we can share with our wider community. Perhaps he's given you a passion or you really enjoy working with kids. Then go in and be a part of our Kids Zone activities. Like, this is a great space for us to connect and to share and to serve. What I want to invite you to think through is, where might God be inviting you to serve? Because what I know for myself is serving makes my life better and it makes an impact on those around me. So I do believe that this is how we grow closer to God. So today, kind of for this opening series, what are we talking about? Today, what I want to invite you to think through is simply that if you want to develop resilience in your life with God, prayer, community, and serving need to be a part of it. Or as we talk about it here at Bethany, that we need to serve up with and out, daily connecting up with Jesus, journeying deeply with one another, and to serve and sacrifice out in the community. This is the steps I want to invite you to take if you want to grow closer with God, and also if you want to make sure that your relationship with God doesn't drift and you have some resiliency in the midst of it. It's to follow Jesus up with and out. So what's my main point here this morning? My main point is actually the same as also my challenge. My main point is this, to develop resilience in your relationship with God through prayer, community, and service. And my challenge is to do the same thing, just to develop resilience in relationship with God through prayer, community, and service. I want to invite you to make this a focus in the next week, because what I know, at least in my life, is that no relationship is ever static, meaning it doesn't change. They're growing or they're drifting or whatever. And when it comes to our relationship with God, these are the three things that will develop resilience, strength, and deepen your roots with God. If you remember what Jesus says, that some of them walked away and were not able to follow him because they did not have deep roots. And that's what I want to invite you to develop, depth with your relationship with God through up, with, and out. And so with that this morning, would you join with me in prayer here today? God, I ask here today, that we have obedience and seeking to follow you up with and out. I pray, would you help us to know, God, which area you want us to focus in on this season, whether it's daily practicing prayer with you, whether it's committing to community, or whether it's serving and sacrificing in some way. I want to invite you, God, to just speak to our hearts with that. What would you like us to do? And might we follow you with obedience and with faithfulness? God, thank you that in a very shaky and unstable world, you are good, you are alive, you are here, and that you give us hope. And I pray, might we continue to just see you moving in our lives this week. And I ask this all in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. And so before we kind of close today, just two things. First, if you'd like our companion guide, which is actually a study guide that goes through all of our sermons, those are at our Welcome Center. You can pick one up, which will help you to kind of work through this new series that I'm newly deciding is going to be called Bounce Forward rather than Bounce Back. So we're just going to make that change and approve that here today. So I want to invite you to grab that if you're interested. Also, on your way out, you're going to be handed out a little postcard. The postcard has all these activities and ways to connect, actually. And it's brilliant and it's beautiful. And there's lots of different things happening over the next few months that we want to let you know of. So you'll be able to have that. Lastly, tomorrow, just wanted to mention this. Tomorrow is kind of an important day, is it not, in the life of our country?
Yes, yeah,
it is. And so here's what I would like to remind you of in the midst of all of that. Is that in the midst of all the talks of politics and elections and all of that, we follow the one true King and only give him allegiance. Amen? Not to any political party or person, but to King Jesus. He is the one we follow. So even as you're voting tomorrow, remember that he is the one that we follow, and he is the one that we need to continue to be obedient to and to serve him first and foremost. So we just remember that. So with that, would you join with me today for a closing benediction? And I want to read to you from Romans 15. So would you stand if you are able to hear our final benediction here today? We read this in Romans 15, and I believe that this will be appropriate for tomorrow and especially for this week. We read this. So I pray that God who gives you hope will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in him. And may you overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody want hope? Then I think that's what Paul is promising here. May you overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And might you experience that today, and might it last this week as you continue to follow him. As always, if you have any need whatsoever, there are people in our prayer room off to my left that would be more than willing to meet with you and to pray with you. If you want to learn how to give, you can go to our big green give wall and you can find information there. And lastly, if you want to grab the companion guide or you're new, please go to our Start Here Welcome Center, and people there would be love to meet with you there. And other than that, just in case you were wondering, I did not have to deal with a raccoon this morning. It was a one-time thing. He did not come back. As always, everybody, we'll see you all next week. Grace and peace. Bye-bye.